Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to The Sidebar, presented by True Crime Daily, taking you inside the courtrooms of high-profile and notorious cases from across the country. I'm your host, Joshua Ritter. I'm a criminal defense lawyer based in Los Angeles and previously an LA County prosecutor for nearly a decade. You can find me on all social media platforms at Joshua Ritter ESQ or at joshuaritter.com. We are recording this on Friday, March 22nd, 2024. In this week's episode, an Ohio mother has been sentenced to life for murder after abandoning her 16-month-old daughter so that she could go on a 10-day vacation. Plus, the grief book author accused of murdering her husband may soon have company as her mother faces new accusations that she may have inspired or even planned the fatal poisoning. But first, additional charges against Delphi murder suspect Richard Allen less than 2 months before his trial is scheduled to begin. Let's go ahead and jump right into that case out of Delphi, Indiana, where a judge has approved additional charges against a man accused of murdering two teen girls. Richard Allen now faces 2 counts of murder in addition to the 2 counts of murder while committing or attempting to commit kidnapping that he was already facing for the deaths of Abby Williams and Libby German. In a contentious hearing ahead of Allen's trial, his defense sought to dismiss the murder charges, alleging that investigators failed to examine a credible alternative murder theory. A former police chief testified on behalf of the defense, claiming that state police never investigated potential ties between a white nationalist cult and the girls' murder. However, prosecutors have roundly rejected this theory and have filed a contempt complaint against Allen's defense attorneys following evidence leaks. Judge Fran Gull will consider the motion to dismiss charges against Allen, rendering her decision at a later date. Allen's case is currently scheduled to begin on May 13th, with the proceedings taking place at the courthouse in neighboring Carroll County. Okay, what is going on here with these additional charges, and why are the prosecutor pursuing them so late in the game here? Does this actually change the landscape of the case? And I think what's important to understand and what's really at play here is the prosecution trying to nail down and hopefully simplify their theory of criminal intent in this case. And to understand that, it's important to understand a concept that's called felony murder. Many jurisdictions deal with felony murder. I practice out of California, so I'm most familiar with how it's applied here, but many jurisdictions also have similar statutes dealing with felony murder. And what felony murder says is that if a person is accused of committing certain enumerated felonies, these are violent crimes. These are things like armed robbery, home invasion, kidnapping, rape, these sorts of horrible, violent crimes that involve a potential risk to human life, and you are committing that crime, and during the course of that, someone is killed, then the law allows to substitute the intent to have committed that underlying crime, in this case, kidnapping, and put that in the place of the required premeditated malice aforethought for first-degree murder. So it's a way for prosecutors to get to first-degree murder without actually having to show the intent to commit murder. And you might be saying, well, that seems wrong. But what they're saying is The intent to have committed this kidnapping is so awful that that same mental intent shows a disregard for human life. And we're going to substitute that mental state, that intent, for that premeditated malice aforethought required for first degree murder. And it's a way for them to get to first degree murder. And I think that's why we're seeing these kind of last moment changes in what the prosecution is charging. The other question going on here is what the prosecution is doing with this contempt complaint. And we've been following this case for quite some time, and it's rare to see cases with so much noise going on before you actually put 12 people in the box and start the trial. Many times cases are talking about evidence and what comes in, what doesn't come in, maybe certain motions are being filed, but all of this nonsense about trying to kick the attorneys off of the case, the judge dismissing them from the case, the appellate court ordering them back on the case, the attorneys then challenging the judge on the case for some sort of bias. All of this, everybody's got their attention focused on something else than what seems to be important here. For the prosecution, I would argue that is the business of prosecuting this case. This is a very important case. It involves a huge amount of significance to that community, and certainly a tremendous amount of significance to the families of these two young girls who lost their lives. Let's get down to the business of trying to convict someone and hold them responsible for that if you believe you have evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. But bringing these contempt charges, and I don't know what the purpose of all of it is. I'm not saying that these attorneys should be allowed to run rampant and just leak evidence. No, and it seems like the judge has done a good job of trying to stop that. But at this point, to me, it's adding to the noise and it's distracting from what they should be focusing on. As far as what we can expect in the coming weeks, I would say that you should expect a lot more nailing down of the legal theories, a lot more nailing down of the evidence, what's going to come in and what may not come in. But in this case, who knows? Who knows what hearing we're going to have on nationalist cults or whether or not the attorneys leaked more evidence. It seems like every single time we seem to be narrowing down to the actual trial, something else ridiculous rears its head. The trial is scheduled to begin in May. I think the judge has had enough of all of this, and I think we will be seeing a jury sat sometime in May. We will, of course, continue to monitor it and give you all updates as they occur and follow the case as it goes to trial.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Let's move to Cleveland, Ohio, where a mother has been sentenced to life without the possibility of parole after leaving her 16-month-old daughter alone for over a week while the mom took a vacation. Crystal Calendario pleaded guilty to one count of aggravated murder and one count of endangering children for the death of her daughter, Jaylene. Calendario left the child to fend for herself for 10 days before returning home to find the girl unresponsive in a playpen filled with the toddler's own feces and urine. The child died of starvation and extreme dehydration in a case prosecutors and law enforcement officials called one of the worst they'd ever seen. The mother alleged that she had been suffering from mental health issues at the time of the murder and claimed that God and her deceased daughter had forgiven her for the transgression. The judge was less forgiving, giving Calendario the maximum penalty, asserting that the mother's actions were, quote, the ultimate act of betrayal against her daughter. We have some footage of that sentencing to show you now.
You should spend the rest of your life in a cell without freedom. The only difference will be that prison will at least feed you.
We talk about a lot of really horrific crimes on this channel, and we talk about a lot of horrific crimes that involve, unfortunately, children losing their lives at the hands of their parents or people that they had hoped would be the ones that would protect them in this world. But it's hard to imagine something more callous than the behavior of the defendant in this case, because of, one, the senselessness of it, in the sense that she had resources. This was not a person without the ability to have other people watch her children. She had parents who watched her other child. She had neighbors who were willing to take care of the child. If she felt like her mental health was deteriorating and she needed a break, she had the ability to do that without throwing her daughter's life away. And to take a 16-month-old, a helpless toddler, a helpless baby that does not have the ability to call 911, does not have the ability to call for help, and just simply leave that child to suffer and die over the course of 10 days is a type of evil that is hard to really comprehend. And I think that's why we saw a plea taken in this case, even though this case led to a sentence of life without parole. Many times when that is on the table, you see defendants who say, what else do I have to lose here? If my option is trial or life without even the possibility of parole, I might as well roll the dice and take this to trial and see what happens. I think in a case like this, realizing the instinctual reaction that jurors would have to this, the same reaction that I'm having and the same reaction that all of you are having listening to this and understanding what took place, that it would have just been a miserable experience leading to a very inevitable conclusion. And it also begs the question of, was there discussion of the death penalty even in this case? The circumstances of this, it's questionable whether or not that have been something that was on the table, but it may have been the prosecutor's ability to remove that as even a possibility was something that her defense attorneys implored her to take advantage of. And even though that meant that she was still going to receive life without the possibility of parole, that was the best option for her. again, I think that the judge's comments that we just heard are reflective of most people who have been following this case are feeling just a tremendous amount of disgust and a tremendous amount of our heartbreak for that young baby that had to have her life ended that way because the only person in the world who was supposed to be protecting her simply abandoned her. And it's absolutely a case that will stick with me for a long period of time, just to be troubled.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Finally, we move on to Summit County, Utah, where the apple does not fall far from the tree, according to investigators who claim that a woman's fentanyl poisoning of her husband may have been inspired by the oxycodone overdose of her mother's romantic partner. Corey Richens faces murder and drug charges for the death of her husband, Eric Richens, who is found with 5 times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his system. Investigators are now claiming that Richens' mother may have provided a roadmap for the murder and may have even helped her daughter plan the fatal poisoning. Richens' mother, Lisa Darden, was in a romantic relationship with an unnamed woman prior to the lover's oxycodone death. In a recently unsealed affidavit, investigators claimed that the death of Darden's partner was suspicious and noted that Darden was the life insurance beneficiary of the deceased. Richens, who wrote a book about grief following her husband's death, was reportedly $2 million in debt when Eric died and allegedly wanted to gain access to a hefty life insurance policy taken out on her husband. Darden has not been charged with any crime at the time of recording this episode, but detectives did note eerie similarities between the overdose deaths of both women's partners. We will, of course, continue to monitor the case and update you as we have them, though Richens does not yet have a trial date. This is interesting because it may be significant evidence. If this proves to be true, and this is beyond suspicions and beyond weird coincidence, and it looks like the mother may have been involved in helping her to plan, it could be tremendously valuable evidence for the prosecution, because the defense, I imagine, is going to argue mistake on his part, that he overdosed, that he was suffering from drug abuse, and that this is just a tragedy, but that their client, Richens, is not responsible for it. And if it's true that the mother either planned, certainly, or even inspired Richens to take these actions, that could be significant to combat against all of that, obviously. This was a planned thing. And the reason she knew it would work is look at the success that her mother had under very similar circumstances. But my question, though I understand the significance of it, and though I understand how it might be valuable to the prosecution, is why these announcements now regarding the investigation? In other words, if they're doing this investigation and they want to even convene a grand jury in secret, go ahead and do that. If their ultimate intent is to bring charges, whether those are charges related to the prior death alleged against the mother, or whether that's as a co-defendant in the current case against Richens. But releasing the idea that someone is under suspicion is a bizarre move to me. And tactically, strategically, I wonder what is going on here. Is this to perhaps inspire other people to come forward? Is this perhaps an attempt to put pressure on the mother to cooperate? I don't know. It's bizarre to me. I wish I had better answers for all of you about all of that. It But I think it's deliberate. I think that's one thing that we can gain from this, is that this is not being done without some sort of end result contemplated. In other words, I don't think they're just simply sharing information that, oh, by the way, yeah, we're also looking into the mom. They're trying to accomplish something through this. And again, I think that's either pressure on the mother, now that she knows how, what they're doing, what they're up to, and how the world is reacting. Maybe she says, hey, I know you wanted to talk to me about my daughter before, and I said, you know, go take a hike. Now I'm willing to sit down and have a chat, which this is a bizarre way of going about doing that, but perhaps that's what's going on. Or this is about, they have this information and they know there are people out there that might know more, and this is essentially a call to action to the community. I don't know. We will continue to follow it. We say that about all these cases. This case has now gotten far more interesting. It already was a case with a lot of intrigue, given the idea that you have a person who is such allegedly a sociopath that they're willing to not only kill their husband, but then try to exploit their death through writing a children's book about grief and gaining profits from all of that. So, you know, add to the mix that mom helped plan it, not entirely outside of the realm of probable in this case. But that is our show for this week. And we, again, thank you so much for joining us on this special episode of The Sidebar. I'm your host, Josh Ritter. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joshua Ritter ESQ. You can find our Sidebar episodes wherever you get your podcasts. And we want to hear from you. If you've got questions or comments you'd like us to address, tweet us your questions with the hashtag TCD Sidebar. And thank you for joining us at the True Crime Daily Sidebar.